Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Why, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Memorial Day weekend with dense fog. Clearly, we need smarter fog, but we'll work on that. Not number one on our list of problems out there. All right, good to have you with us today. In fact, I will even be Tara on Monday again, as Tara gets a nice big weekend, and we hope that you have one, too, if you can tell the difference between your weekend and the rest of your week. For the record, this is a Friday, May the 22nd, and it is also a day in which we begin the traditional Memorial Day weekend. Now, I know, technically, summer begins about a month from now in June, just as the summer ends, as we all know, at Labor Day weekend, but technically in the middle of September. So, it's a little different this year, I think. For a lot of people, you look forward to Labor Day, and you look forward to Labor Day, Memorial Day, rather, and you look forward to Memorial Day as a day that sort of liberates you. Well, this year, even more so. We will see just how much liberation is forthcoming. This is 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Also, 106.3WORD.com, 101.5 FM in Anderson, and 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca. We are covered, my friend. And the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And a list has been compiled of the states, including the District of Columbia, so 51 rankings, ranked by the extent to which they are closed down. That is to say, number one on the list, the most shut down, and number 51, the least shut down. I'll be going over that list, but I'll cheat right now and just tell you right up front that on the list, South Carolina is 35th. Most shut down, a little better than average. North Carolina, for our good friends there, almost right in the middle, 24th in terms of shutdownedness. But I'll go over that list. It's rather interesting. Some of the states you would expect to be at the very top or bottom are not, in fact, there. So we'll go over that. We'll also take a look at voting by mail and a number of aspects of just where we stand now with, of course, June the 9th is the non-presidential primary. For those of you who have races with the possibility of a runoff, that is to say more than one candidate running, that's the 23rd, 2 weeks after the 9th. So, in any event, an interesting list, and they went over all kinds of things that are closed, beaches and parks and restaurants and nail salons and gymnasiums and all the, you know, the things that can be closed and the types of restrictions and masks and social distancing, blah, 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 blah. So, number 51, the least restricted state in the country, South Dakota. I know you wouldn't want to live there, really. I mean, honestly, unless you just dig lousy weather, but there it is. There it is. So, that's number 51 on the list of the most restricted states. Number 50, Utah. Number 49, North Dakota, which is, of course, several degrees colder than South Dakota. 48, Missouri. That surprised me because most of the states on this list are lacking in major urban areas, and St. Louis and Kansas City, of course, are in Missouri. And yet there it is, the fourth the least restrictive, number 48 on the restriction list. 47, Idaho. 46, Tennessee, 45, Montana, 44, Texas, 43, Florida, 42, Iowa, 41, Georgia, and I might have expected them a little bit lower on the list, if you will, of restrictions, but there they are, number 41. Number 40, Arkansas. Now into the 30s. 39th most restricted state, Kansas. 38, Nebraska. 37, Oklahoma. 36, Indiana. 35, South Carolina. I'd love your thoughts about that at 6:12 on this Friday morning with our Ingalls Advantage talk line at 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063 and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307. So continuing down the list here, number 34, Wyoming, 33, Mississippi, 32, Alabama. There's a tie at 30th, Alaska and Minnesota. 29th is West Virginia, 28th, Kentucky, 27, Nevada, 26, Maine, 25, Virginia, and 24 is North Carolina. Number 23, California. That really surprised me. They are just pretty close to the middle in terms of restrictions, according to this study. 22, Oregon, 21, New Hampshire, 20, Arizona, 19, Colorado, 18, Wisconsin, 17, New Mexico. Now we get into the states that are starting to clamp down. Number 16, Louisiana, 15, the state of Washington, 14, Michigan. And again, with all we've heard about the governor of Michigan, I would have thought they would have done better than that. I'm sure she would be very disappointed to know that she didn't even crack the top 10 of clamping down on people. We'll have to hold a telethon for her. Number 13 is Vermont, 12 Maryland, 11 Delaware. And then the top 10, the most restricted states. Number 10, Connecticut, 9 Ohio, 8 Massachusetts, 7, New York, and 6, New Jersey. My biggest surprise is, I think, on the list that New York and New Jersey did not crack the top 5, which are number 5, Pennsylvania, number 4, Illinois. Well, I can believe that. Number 3, again, this is a 51-state survey, including the District of Columbia, and number 3 is, in fact, D.C. Number 2, Rhode Island, and the most restrictive state, if you've been keeping track, you know that I left out to this point, Hawaii is the most restrictive, which I find, I guess, to a certain extent surprising. But nonetheless, that's how this particular ranking is. And, of course, these rankings are all going to change just by virtue of the fact that each state is creeping forward. So some will move ahead of others as they continue to open up. But I had a haircut, my first in 13 weeks. I looked, starting to look like a ZZ Top concert, but had a haircut, and that was good. So, other than the trims that my wife had given me, who did a good job, by the way, but it was nice to have the professional expertise. Anyway, glad to have you aboard this morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
How do you do? Good morning, and welcome to the Memorial Day weekend. I'll be wrapping it up as well on Monday morning, and actually Tara, I guess, will be back for the actual wrap-up, which is Tuesday morning. It's one of those extended weekends, those Monday weekends, and maybe a little bit different this year, just by virtue of the fact that it heralds not only the arrival of summer, but maybe the lifting of these boa constrictor restrictions that we have been facing for so long. Texters, let's see here. Good morning, sir. I always enjoy listening when you fill in, but I'm curious, are you from the upstate area? Not originally, no. I'm a carpetbagger, moved here several years ago, and love the area. Beautiful, beautiful part of the country and the world. Texter says, my second summer job, this I've made snarky references to the Dakotas being among the least restrictive states as regards the pandemic. This texter says, my second summer job was for a guy who had been in the U.S. Air Force as a plane controller in North Dakota, and then volunteered to go in country to Da Nang because of the climate. That would be Da Nang, Vietnam, for those who don't know. Some people I know volunteered to go to Vietnam to get promoted. If you were career military, that was the way to get advanced. I knew people who had wonderful, cushy jobs in Germany, but they were stuck in rank, and they were career, and they were Army of Occupation, of course, Oktoberfest, but that wasn't good enough. No, they were fighting for a chance to go to, literally fighting, ironically, fighting for a chance to go to Vietnam. The climate over there, the climate in Vietnam is rather different from what most people know. It's a two-season climate, 6 months of hot and dry, I mean dusty, nasty dry, and then 6 months of wet like you've never seen wet before, wet like all the time, pretty much, or at least half the time, like the wettest rainstorm you've ever been in. It doesn't feel like it's showering or it's raining. It feels like someone is dumping a bucket of water on your head constantly, okay? So anyway, but enough about that. I know people who swear by the Dakotas, who've lived there. I have not, have visited there, but one thing they can offer is the least restrictions as of this writing, by one measure of all the different ways that your behavior can be restricted. The five freest, Idaho, Missouri, North Dakota, Utah, and then the freest is South Dakota in terms of pandemic restrictions. At the other end of the scale, the most restrictive five, number five, Pennsylvania, number four, Illinois, three, the District of Columbia, two, Rhode Island, and one, Hawaii. You ask, where are New York and New Jersey? Seven and six. That is where. South Carolina comes in at number 35, so less restrictive than average. And number 24 is North Carolina, pretty much right in the middle of the pack. So it's moving. It's moving in that direction. And it is even everywhere. Even the restrictive states are, in the case of many of those governors, grudgingly dragged, kicking and screaming, but nonetheless becoming less restrictive. And, of course, now that summer is officially here, then you've got to ask yourself, do I feel lucky, I suppose? I am suspecting that it's going to pick up. I think the pace will pick up. We'll see if there's this big second wave of the virus, but not, I suspect, during the summer months, even if there is one. I don't think it'll show up before we get into autumn, so we'll see. But for the moment, I'm pretty optimistic that things are going to continue, and I may get even more haircuts. Isn't that good? 71307 is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Before the day is out, we'll also be talking a bit about voting by mail, and we'll get into where some South Carolina election ballots have reportedly been found. The answer, by the way, is not in South Carolina, which is pretty grim. But again, the whole notion of voting by mail is fraught with a few problems that need to be examined. I voted by mail in this primary, ironically enough, by virtue of the fact that I was going to be somewhere at a gathering of people jammed close together, which, of course, was canceled. But in the meantime, I already had the application in to vote by mail, so I figured, what the heck? So I have voted and sent in my ballot by mail. The procedure I found to be fairly straightforward and the like. But we'll give some examination to that a bit later on in the program. And also we'll take a look at the U.S. pulling out of the Open Skies Treaty. The Russians have been violating that left, right, sideways, all over the place. And in addition, we are picking up now additional investigations of the Bidens. Yes, we're hearing the name Hunter Biden again. And that's a good thing. We ought to hear the name Hunter Biden. It's an important name. It's an important name. Let's not forget that most of the things that Hunter Biden has been doing began on the Joe Biden as vice president watch. So it's important for those who say, well, you're just picking on Hunter, or it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter. Yes, it does. because one can only assume that the behavior that was allowed by the sitting vice president would only be allowed more when he was, in fact, the overall boss, if, in fact, he got that far. So, yeah, if Joe Biden became president, not just vice president, but president, what would Hunter do? Well, goodness, folks, the sky's the limit. All grist for the mill as we head into Memorial Day weekend, and hoping that it will be a weekend that is, well, liberating. I can't think of a better word, but liberating. We could all use a little liberation. I will tell you about the South Carolina ballots, if you didn't hear about this. Some South Carolina election ballots reportedly ended up in Maryland. Maryland? After mail-in voting for the June 9th primary had already begun, and of course it has. In fact, now we're told that the company being used, Minnesota printer SeaChange, that South Carolina election officials may cut ties with the company after about 20 Charleston County absentee ballots were found outside the state. They may cut ties. I'm not sure what that means in terms of what it takes to actually get them to cut ties, but anyway, it's good to know that they're on the case. In fact, this is not the first absentee ballot issue they found. They print and mail ballots for about 13 South Carolina counties, SeaChange. And, of course, in Greenville County, some voters received the wrong absentee ballots when the Democratic presidential primary and the special election for sheriff were held. Voters in Charleston received ballots which were folded in a way that made them tough to read by scanning machines. There are just so many ways. So many ways. Now, of course, the pandemic alone means that this will see a record number of absentee ballots being filed this year. Election integrity is a major issue, and it cannot be overly stated here. There are two big issues about election integrity. One, whether your vote is actually properly counted, and votes that shouldn't be counted are actually not counted. That is to say, the first big issue is reality. Whose is being counted, whose is not being counted? That matters. If you are a legally registered voter and you vote in a legal manner, then your vote should be counted. Otherwise, it should not be counted. That's issue number one, reality. Issue number two is perception. People have to have faith in the electoral system, that it is working. Yeah, I may have lost this time, but hey, it was fair and square. I know. But nonetheless, that's important. And it's hard to have that faith at times. It really is. These are issues that have to be stopped immediately. And there have been any number of things that have been suggested over the years. If we would only do this, and if we would only do that, it could speed up the process. I wasn't aware that speeding up the process was that important. I know as someone in the media, I've always liked the counting of ballots to be sped up, but as a citizen and a voter and a taxpayer, I would prefer that they be counted accurately. I don't know that there is any necessity of having to know the outcome of an election that night. I've spent many an election night covering elections, local, state, federal, and it's all very exciting, and your adrenaline gets pumping, and I enjoyed it. But if we had to wait till the next morning because it made it more accurate, I would be the first to say, then let's wait till next morning. And, of course, there is the convenience issue. It's more convenient to mail in your ballots. Well, I'm not sure the convenience per se is necessarily a reason to change something. Let's say that you have a voting system which is more convenient but less secure. Is that worth it? Well, for the terminally lazy, I suppose it probably is. For the rest of us, I would say not. The notion that it is somehow odious to get to vote and get to a polling place is, in most every case, nonsense. Now, there are those who have restricted mobility, granted. Those who don't get around like they used to. Those who are elderly, infirm, disabled, what have you. And no one is suggesting that there should be no option to voting by mail. The issue is what can happen if massive portions of the electorate vote by mail who don't have to. And for all the arguments you hear about how convenient it is or how it will improve turnout, which in and of itself is not necessarily a virtue, that does not add up to the number one reason to do this, and that is to do it accurately and in a way that is perceived to be accurate. That matters. It matters a great deal. And if it's less convenient or less speedy, too bad. Too bad. 18 minutes now before 7 o'clock at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Delighted to have you aboard this morning, and be happy to hear from you as well. Jim Bohannon sitting in for Tara today. Texter says, Jim, nice to hear you properly use the word literally this morning. Literally is replaced basically as the most useless crutch word. That's basically true. So, anyway, but back to the subject at hand. It matters. This whole electoral process matters, and this is just the latest example of why it matters. South Carolina, by the way, has already issued 20% more absentee ballots than the total for the 2018 primary. And, again, the irregularities pour in. November 2018, Richland County failed to count over 1,000 votes, submitting results 2 days after the Democratic presidential primary, just the Democratic overall primary. This was back in November of 2018, because election officials realized they could not account for dozens of ballots. As it turned out to be, it was over 1,000 ballots. In March of this year, Richland County again realized it was short dozens of absentee ballots, and it forced a recount by hand. Counts by hand are not such a bad thing either. The president, of course, has been pointing this out for some time and has lashed out at the leaders of various states pushing to expand voter by mail. In fact, for a while, he threatened to hold up funding to the state of Michigan for sending out absentee ballots to applications, I should say, not the ballots, but the applications to all voters. As the president put it, Michigan sends absentee ballot applications to 7.7 million people ahead of the primaries and the general election. This was done illegally and without authorization by a rogue Secretary of State. That means the state Secretary of State, not the federal one. Meaning the president, again, quoting from his tweet, will ask to hold up funding to Michigan if they want to go down this voter fraud path. And so it's not certainly helping the perception, and not helping the reality either. Again, you can go right down to the voting on the voting machines that we use. Anytime you use any kind of device that sends a message from one place to another, you run the risk of somebody who is a whiz at things digital or electronic intercepting the message and altering it, or simply removing it. I'll tell you, there's nothing that can beat the good old paper ballot. Seriously. The good old, this is a sheet of paper, and I'm going to mark something on it in ink. There's a lot to be said for that, folks. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 713-07-71307. You can send in comments that way. I guess you could try the snail mail method. It's not too effective there. Just as there are problems with using it in the voting process as well. And in fact, they've had a big battle going on here in Texas where the good guys are winning because of all the extra mail-in ballots that were out there. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, filed an appeal. Federal District Court, had ruled that allowed the mail-in ballots for residents who are concerned about the pandemic. And the appeals court has now stood with the Texas Attorney General. So I'm sure that winds up going to the Supreme Court at some point or another. But the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, has explained his point of view, and he has a point. He says mail-in ballots are vulnerable to fraud. And this is an interesting statistic. Two-thirds of all election fraud cases prosecuted by the Texas Attorney General's office involve mail ballot fraud. Two-thirds of them. Or vote harvesting. Allowing widespread mail-in ballots will lead to greater fraud and disenfranchise lawful voters. Now, this is something, of course, that is not often phrased in this manner, but it's the correct manner to phrase it. And that is, it is vote fraud when somebody who shouldn't be voting votes and cancels out the vote of someone who can vote. That's also vote fraud. You can cast your ballot legally and be the victim of vote fraud if, in fact, your vote is canceled out by somebody who shouldn't have been voting. In other words, that's the victimhood here. That's the victimhood, is people who are allowed to vote. And there's little doubt, by the way, about who is most likely to be involved in such activities, all the way from that undercover investigation that showed Move On, the organization that supports leftist causes and candidates, showing people how to illegally register to vote, like it's sort of somehow electoral affirmative action. For all these years, we didn't allow people of color to vote, so we'll now let a few extras vote. That's not the way it works. The problem was corrected, and now allow vote fraud the other way is not the answer to the problem. And that's the problem that a lot of people have. We'll get into some additional problems that are inherent in the mail process for voting. But suffice it to say that they're there. And certainly you can hear various arguments made. Well, there's not a whole lot of proven fraud. This gets down to how seriously people actually treat voter fraud. For example, let's say, and I'm making up these numbers here, but let's say that in Greenville last year there were only 100 cases of rape reported. Only 100, whatever the number was, I don't know. But the entire approach to it is, so what? One case of rape is too many. One case is too many because it's a serious problem. And people who refer to law violations as only a certain amount are betraying their true sentiments, which are that it's not a big deal. Now, you have pretty much universal agreement that rape is a bad thing. Vote fraud? Not so universally held. No. There are those who do believe in the rule of law and who do believe that, in fact, any society has the right to set rules on who may vote and who may not. And there are reasonable ways of doing that and reasonable ways of proving your identity. And that matters. And there are others who don't really care that much who votes. You look at the people out there who push for all kinds of restrictions, places where people who are in this country illegally can vote legally. In municipalities, in some town elections, that can happen. It can't happen in those towns in state elections or federal elections, but in local elections it can. There are places in this country where you can legally vote, if you are under the age of 18. Because, hey, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's participating. It gives a warm and fuzzy feeling to certain people. And regrettably, that is the basis by which some decisions are made. Does it give someone with a leftist point of view a warm and fuzzy feeling? That's a problem. But there's little question about who it is who seems most interested in ignoring vote fraud because they know that they will ultimately be the beneficiary of that. We'll look at other sides of the argument as well. But again, this comes out of, but not limited to, word that some South Carolina election ballots turned up in Maryland. Oopsie. Major League oopsie.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.